This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Well, my name is Sean Trevino. I started coming to Guts Church in 2001. In the year 2000, I went through a thing called the nightmare. It was my only experience that I had with Guts Church. And at Christmas break through the new year, I went home. I was going to Oral Roberts University. I'm from Oregon. I went home. And I visited the church that I'd gone to since I gotten saved the year before I came to ORU. And there was an elderly lady in the church who just loved to pray. She was always praying, "What can I pray for you about?" So I walked into the church, I'm home from break, and she says, "What can I pray for you about?" We're in the stairwell, right? Like, I'm just like, "Oh, I'm good." She's like, "No, really." And I said, "Well, honestly, I visited a few churches in Tulsa, but I haven't really found a home church. I haven't found a place where I feel like I can connect or serve or be a part of." And she said, "Well, let me pray for you." I'm like, "Right here." She's like, "Yeah." So she begins to pray, and she prayed that it'd be written on walls, it'd be plain and simple to see. And my eyes are closed because I didn't want to know who's walking by because she's praying. And I'm thinking, well, my eyes were closed. I had never visited Guts. I'd only been through the nightmare. And in my mind's eye, or whatever you want to say, I saw Guts written on a wall. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to check this out. And I think back now, I came home. Sean Schaefer was my college roommate. I said, "Sean, we're going to go check out Guts." We check it out. We love it. Pastor Bill speaks at a chapel a few weeks later. Chris Hart, one of our best friends, says, "Man, I went to lunch with this pastor, Pastor Bill." I was like, "Man, we started going there last week." And it was just so cool to think now, man, Pastor Bill did the ceremony when my wife and I got married. All four of my kids, yes, I have four kids, all four of them have been dedicated here at Guts Church. And my oldest daughter got baptized the last time we had a family night. So it's just so cool to see what God can do because somebody prayed. Because somebody prayed and we listen to God and we get committed and we get planted. I mean, I planted myself in this church. I knew that everything that I was going to accomplish was going to come out of this house. Whatever God had for me, that it was going to be in this place. And I'm telling you guys, if you haven't set those roots down, set them down. Because God wants to do something amazing. And he wants to do it through the local church. And man, there's not a better one than this one right here, Guts Church. And man, we're here to reach people and change the world. This morning, we do have baptisms, as you can tell. We don't always just have troughs on the stage. But we want to talk about baptism in a different light. Pastor Bill mentioned it last week. He said, "I don't want you to think of baptism as just water." He goes, "I want you to think of baptism as immersion." Immersion is all in, completely under. Not just, "Hey, I put my toes in it," or "I stood in it." But immersion is, I'm all in, every part of me. And so this morning, we're going to talk about baptism. But don't just think water. Man, really just open your hearts and your minds and listen to God this morning, because there's probably something you're dealing with that we're going to hit this morning, or something maybe you've struggled with, or something very close to you is struggling with, and you may get an answer in here this morning. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And here's what it says. And this is John the Baptist speaking. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So here's another baptism. Here's another immersion. So John the Baptist has been doing water baptism, but he's saying one greater than I. He's talking about Jesus is going to come, and he's going to baptize you. He's going to immerse you. He's going to in the Holy Spirit and fire. So just showing that, man, there are things in our lives that we got to get baptized into. We got to immerse. We got to be all in. There's a definition of immerse that is to involve deeply. To involve deeply, that's everything. I'm not just getting involved, I'm getting involved deeply. And in John chapter 6, there's a story where Jesus is talking to a crowd of people. And it doesn't make sense to them. He's talking about communion, but to them it just doesn't make sense. The Bible says, you know, it's a hard saying. And it says, many walked away and followed him no more. So many people walk away and they're just like, "Jesus, I don't understand, I don't get it, I'm out." So then Jesus turns to the 12. His 12 disciples, his homies, his gang, people he's been rolling with, he says, "Do you also want to go?" And I'm thinking, Jesus, if all these people just left, why don't we solidify that these 12 are still with us? I think I would have been like, there's a lot of people leaving. Disciples, please stay. Please. But Jesus just put it out there. He said, "Do you also want to go?" Knowing there's going to be stuff in life that's going to hit them. And if this is going to make them walk away, they were going to walk away eventually. So he says that. And then it's so cool because Peter answers so amazingly. And when you're baptized, when you're immersed, when you're all in, this is the kind of answer you come up with. And in John chapter 6, at the very end of it, Peter says, "Where else will I go? I know you have the words of eternal life, and you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else? Where else am I going to go? What else am I going to turn to? I know you have the answers. Where else am I going to go? I know you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one we've been waiting for. Where else? What other options do I have? There was no chance he was going to walk away. There's no chance he was going anywhere else because he knew Jesus had the words of eternal life. He was the Christ. He was the one they were waiting for, the rescuer, their salvation. That was it. And I love it when you're immersed, when you're baptized, when you're all into something, that becomes who you are. God, where else am I going to go? I know you have the words of eternal life. I know you have the words of eternal life. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love this because the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't do it the way the world does it. Do it differently. It says, and you got to renew your mind. Now, renewing your mind is a process. It doesn't just happen. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, tells us we need to take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. So renewing our mind is a little bit of a process. And you got to renew your mind because when you're conformed to this world and seasons begin to change, it's easy to be like, oh man, every time it goes from summer to winter, hot weather, I get sick. Man, just something just comes on me. It's, when it's in this season, I have high allergies or whatever. And you're just saying what you've always said and repeating what you've always heard because we're conformed. When we renew our mind, what begins to come out of our mouth when we feel those symptoms come on is that by his stripes, I was healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. No sickness can come upon this body because of the price that Jesus paid. Not because of anything I've done, but because God sent his only son to die for my salvation and to carry my sickness so I don't have to be sick. But it's so easy to say, it's that season. Man, it's that time of year. Man, if that weather change, it gets me. Because we haven't renewed our minds. Because we're still conformed to this world. Because we forget that, man, God has a better way. God truly has a better way. In my personal life, there's a couple things I remember early on getting saved. Early on learning about renewing your mind. I remember hearing a couple things that they kind of messed with me. I'd been a Christian a couple years. I was kind of getting to this place where my wife and I were getting serious about to get married. I'd been coming to Guts for a while. You start learning about this overcoming life, this greater life imaginable. And people, I don't think being mean, but naturally would just say, oh man, that first year of marriage is rough. That first year of marriage is tough. And I'm thinking, well, what happens? Do they start hitting you? What happens? How come it's so rough or tough, right? But it's just the world. When you're conformed to this world, then you begin to believe that. And guess what? That first year will be tough. But I just didn't receive it. Man, I love God. She loves God. We're planted in a local church. Why would that first year have to be like everybody else's first year? It doesn't have to be. And then I remember hearing we had our first kid. Oh, they're so cute when they're babies, but just wait for the terrible twos. How many of you guys have heard that? The terrible twos. I was like, what could they do? What could sweet Isabel do when she's two that she's not? I'm thinking Tasmanian devil. What happens? Is she just going to be all around the house? But I just thought, no, I don't have to receive that. I don't have to receive that my kid is going to have these terrible twos. I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to trust God. But when we conform to this world, we just hear things and we just accept them. We have to renew our minds. If we want the greatest life imaginable, which is a life, if we want that, our minds must be renewed. I got a daughter that's 10 years old. I've been doing JV for 9 years, and she's going to be in my junior high department next year, which my stories will have to change because she knows which ones are real. So it's about to get real in JV next year. But what's crazy is she's getting close to those teenage years. She'll be 11 in March. And you hear, oh, man, they're so rebellious in their teens. Man, a lot of them will walk. But I'm like, why? Man, if I'm praying, if I'm believing God, if they're planted in this church, if they're sitting under Sean at Kids and they're sitting under the message of Chris in the high school, then why? Why would they have to rebel? Well, because the world says that. Because when we conform to the world, we just repeat what the world says. But God has called us to not be. He says, do not. Everybody say, do not.
Do not.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, which is changed, which is completely different, by the renewing of your mind. So now I've set a challenge. Whatever it is in your area, whatever it is that area that I say that all the time. Man, that does just kind of fly out of my mouth. And why? Because you've always said it, because your parents said it, or because your grandparents said it. And you just do it. But we, as God's people, we have to renew our mind, or we have to think differently. We have to change our mentality and perspective relating to the baptism. It's not just of water, it's an immersion. It's an immersion to every area of our life. God's heart is to baptize us in every great thing that he's about. Every great thing. God doesn't want us to miss out. God wants his very best. Just like I'm a dad, I got a son. I want what's best for my son. I want what's best for my daughters. That's the heart of a loving father, and that's how God is for us. He doesn't want us to miss out. He doesn't want us to not have enough. Man, God wants to provide everything we need to accomplish what he's put on the inside of us, but we have to renew our mind. We cannot conform to the world. We cannot. I'm gonna go over a few things here where, and the question is just, are you baptized? Have you allowed God to baptize you in these areas of life? The first one is joy. And you gotta realize that joy is a big deal. I believe that people in the world are just looking to be happy. The Bible says, happy are those whose God is Lord. Happy are those who trust in the Lord. And if you've ever been to Friday Groceries, if you've ever volunteered at Friday Groceries, I'll never forget, I get to run the volunteer meeting. John Pence has given me that honor, right? So I'm there and I'm talking, but every week we go over the Mike Sparkman rule. So if you've ever been to Friday Groceries, there is a Mike Sparkman rule. Mike's awesome. So I'll be doing my thing and I'll say, Mike, you gotta give him the rule. And Mike, so lovingly as he does, says, if you can't smile and be happy, there's the door. And I'm like, Mike, that's intense. But the reality is this, people come into Friday Groceries, they need hope. And they may not talk to us, but they can see what's going on our face. If they see the joy and they see the happiness on our face, it gives them hope. It gives them a reason to think they can overcome whatever they're dealing with. They can get past whatever struggle with because they see joy on someone in a red shirt who's helping them providing food. So the reality is this, joy, our face, it makes a difference. Man, if we're happy, it gives a little hope to the world. Man, if we're joyful, it tells them, you know what, I got a chance. I really have a chance. Looking at people and seeing that joy, as some of you are adjusting your face right now, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But joy, let them see it on your face. Let them see what God has done on the inside, on the outside. People cannot see our heart. They cannot see what God has changed on the inside of us. But what they can see is what's on our face. And if they see that joy, if they see that happiness, they hear that laughter, for them it's just hope. The world needs hope. They need to know that, man, there's a better way about it. Peace. Man, have we been baptized into God's peace? Have we been immersed into God's peace? And what peace does is it gives us control of our minds. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to just kind of take that away from you. I'll never forget, my little sister called me. She doesn't call a lot. She doesn't ask for prayer a lot. But she called. She had taken a trip down to Mexico. And while she was down there, she began to have anxiety and panic attacks. She said she didn't want to leave the house. She was afraid that something bad might happen. She didn't want to leave the car thinking, man, if we stop somewhere, something might happen. And she just thought, when we get back to America, I'll be fine. But the same thing happened when she got home. Man, that anxiety and those panic attacks, it just began to, she didn't want to leave her house. And if the enemy can keep you clammed up like that, then you will never fulfill the call he has on your life. So what he was doing, using that anxiety and using those panic attacks, it was just to stop her up. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And we have that peace, we have control of our minds. We have that peace, man, it allows us to not be shut down, not be, the Bible says in Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by petition, prayer, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. The world needs to see that we have peace, that we've been baptized, and we believe this peace that we can walk in because they're hurting. They're dealing with this stuff. Man, the depression is getting to be too much. The anxiety is getting to be too much. Man, watching Christian Curley be in the suicide room, 15 years old, and I heard from his mom last night. If you guys didn't know, in the nightmare, we have a suicide room, and it's intense. It's bullying, and this kid goes, and it seems so real. It's so amazing. And his mom talked to me on Saturday night. She goes, you know, we went on vacation last week during fall break, or the first weekend. And he, before he knew what part he was playing in the nightmare, said, Mom, I can't go. I can't miss a night of the nightmare. Before he knew what role he was gonna have. And I just found it so amazing. But every time I would see that scene, I thought, people are contemplating this. The enemy is messing with them so much that people are thinking this is the answer. When the answer's on the inside of us, the peace of God, Jesus Christ is on the inside of us. We have the answer, are we sharing it? Can people see the peace in your life? Because if they see you having peace, they're gonna wanna know why. Why? Even in the midst of a storm, the Bible says we can have peace. If God is our foundation, if we build on the rock, it says the storms come, but our house won't be knocked down. And that peace that surpasses all understanding, which is a peace, when I hear that surpasses all understanding, it's a peace that doesn't make sense. We have peace that doesn't make sense. The world will take notice. When they take notice of our peace, they're going to want to know why. And that's when we get to share Jesus. That's when we get to share the good news of the gospel. So I want to challenge you guys, man. Have you been baptized in that peace? Or has the enemy been robbing you of your peace? Has the enemy been robbing you of your peace? No more. Don't give him that room. Don't give him that place. He does not deserve it. God sent his son, Jesus, so that we could have peace. The third one is health. Have we been baptized in God's health? And this is a tough one. But the world, I mean, you could just see by the Ebola outbreak, people are afraid. And when you're afraid, it makes you not want to do much. It makes you not want to go. People are not going to the state of Texas. Isn't that crazy? It's fearful. It's afraid. People were selling their tickets to the OU Texas game because they didn't want to go because there was fear involved. But when they see and know that there's health and there's healing in the gospel of Jesus, when sick people can come here and they can leave healed and whole, when we realize that God, when he sent his son Jesus to pay that price, you got to remember, it says, by his stripes we've been healed, that he took that upon himself. Yes. When people know that and realize that, they can begin to renew their minds and then they can begin to walk in it, because the world will absolutely take notice when they see a bunch of health people standing on God. When a diagnosis hits, we got to have our minds renewed. When a diagnosis hits, somebody, a loved one, or someone close to us, we got to be able to say that by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, there's healing. Right. Man, there's health. He provided it for us. That's how much he loved us. He took care of it. He said, I don't want it to be on you. I'm going to put it on my son. You don't have to carry that. You don't have to walk around sick. But if we're not baptized in it and a symptom hits us, we just take it. I guess this is what I got. I guess this is my lot in life. I guess this is, and here's the deal. Some people, what becomes difficult is they're like, Chano, but it's generations. My grandpa had it. My dad had it. I have it. And it kind of becomes our excuse. But when we're baptized in God's health, when we realize it doesn't matter what your generation is, it doesn't matter what's happened generations before you, let's take a stand and change the generations after us. I can tell you guys this, and many of you have probably heard me say this, but my dad was an alcoholic, my grandfather was an alcoholic, and my great-grandfather was an alcoholic. All three of those generations also cheated on their spouses. So I have three generations of alcoholics and three generations of cheaters in my lineage. It's not so with me. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a cheater. And my son will be the first generations that can say, my dad is not. My dad is not a cheater. My dad is not an alcoholic. I'm changing it for him and for his kids and for his kids' kids. Same thing with your health. Same thing with your health. You get to be that for your lineage. What is it? Where has the enemy stopped you up for maybe generations? Man, has it been in your health? Has it been in your peace? Has it been in your joy? Or the fourth one is prosperity. And I love when Pastor Will talks about prosperity because he says it's control. It's not take money out of the equation. Prosperity is control. Because when you don't have control of your finances, life can get a little bit crazy. It begins to seep into every area of your life. It begins to mess with your thoughts, your marriage, your relationships, what I can and can't do, what I can be a part of, what I can't be a part of, because we lack control, because we haven't been baptized into God's prosperity. Either we haven't been willing to give the tithe, the Bible says not only we have enough, but you have enough to give to every good work, which to me is we tithe, we cover everything we have to cover, and then when they get up for the motorcycle rally, we give. When we get up for Friday groceries or for Easter, we give. Man, somebody comes in here to speak, we give. Because we have enough to give to every good work. But we have to be baptized in God's prosperity. No, we have to be able to have control. Because once again, the enemy wants to sneak into your marriage. Oh man, money's bad. Man, money's tough. You know, money's just always been tight. Please stop saying that. Man, you got to stop. At some point, you got to say, God's my provision. If that's all you know, just say that. God's my provision. God's my provider. When you want to say, we just don't have enough, say, God's my provision. Begin to change the way you think and begin to change the way you speak. Pastor Bill, he made a point that with his kids, he never says we can't afford it or we don't have enough. And that's a big deal. Why? Because we're training the next generations to dream huge. If my kids realize that everything, they have access to everything to reach people for Jesus, what can stop them? But if we always think, we just didn't have enough money to get down to Haiti. We didn't have enough money to do 100 wells. We didn't have enough money to do feeding stations. Whatever it is, then we put a limit on God. But if God truly is our provider, if we truly are baptized into his prosperity, we can do anything to reach anybody. And so you parents in here, man, and me included, we can't tell our kids we can't afford it. We can't let them ever feel like they can't be a part of something. And I'm telling you, when God's your provider, there's always a way. We have to be baptized into God's prosperity. God's redemption. Redemption is free from guilt and shame. When he redeemed us, no more guilt, no more shame. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's crazy because sometimes as believers, we end up with guilt and shame. And sometimes it's not because we've done bad stuff, but because we knew we were supposed to do something right and we didn't do it. We knew there was something, we were supposed to bless somebody or talk to somebody or be a part of something, we didn't do it. And this guilt and shame wants to come upon us. But you know what? We've been redeemed. And don't allow that guilt and shame to come on you, because once again, it clams you up. When you allow guilt and shame to be a part of your life, it begins to close you up. It becomes to make things difficult. It's difficult to share things because you have guilt and shame. No, I can't. You don't understand what I've done. Man, a lot of people have a lot of past. You got to hear people's story. One of the greatest stories, if you ever get an opportunity, listen to Juan Charles, Chucky's story. It's unbelievable, and his wife Blanca, what God has done and is doing through them. But if you knew their past, and it's crazy what God saved them from. There's no guilt, there's no shame. God wants to use you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to take care of all that stuff. He wants you to have no guilt and no shame. Love. Love casts out all fear. It covers sin and it never fails. We have to be baptized in God's love. The Bible says they will know us by our love for one another. Because the world's looking, if we can't get along, if Christians can't get along, what hope is there for people to really get along? Because we were all raised differently, all of us. Unless you were raised with your uncles playing accordions in the backyard, pig heads on your garage, belt buckles, cowboy hats, and cowboy boots, and everybody speaking Spanish, then we were not raised the same. So there are some differences here. We experience life differently at a young age. I'll never forget my friend, pig heads on a garage, you think, what is that? We make pork. It was just weird, okay? You don't know how weird it is until your Caucasian American friend who doesn't do that shows up at your house and is like, what's that? And I'm like, that's what they put on the garage when they're cooking. I don't know, like, it's just, the food's gonna be good. Promise me, you'll be all right. So we're raised, so we come from different backgrounds. Some white, some brown, some blacks, whatever. We're different. Different age groups represented here. But if the world can see us getting along and loving one another in here, it's hope. The diversity in this room is amazing. Age, gender, race, it's different. And if they see us loving one another, it's hope for the world. It gives them hope. There's a lot of hate in the world. There's a lot of hate in the world. Man, even when they hate us, we gotta love them. Even when they hatefully talk about you, hold your tongue, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. We always respond in love. We always respond in love. I promise you it'll minister to their hearts. I promise you hard hearts will become soft when they see love on the inside of us. The last one is life. That Zoe life, the God kind of life. God wants to baptize us into that kind of life. He wants us to have the greatest life imaginable. Please, if you've been thinking that this Christian life is like this and there's borders and parameters, there's not, it's free. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that he has set us free. That God set us free, no limits, no limitations, nothing holding us in. But people start thinking, oh, I can't do this, I can't be a part of that, I can't do that. That's not why God sent Jesus. He didn't send him to give you a bunch of rules and stuff you can't do. That's not it. That's been your thought of Christianity. Please erase it from your mind. He came to set us free. And the world is what gets caught up. People get involved in drugs, it closes them up. They get involved in alcohol and addiction, and it closes them up. But they want you to feel like it's freeing. There's no hope in that. It's a temporary escape. Man, God's a permanent answer of freedom, of hope.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.